Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks here today with a couple of our regular co-hosts, contributors, I don't know what to say, Brianna Scroggins and Becky McNeely. How's it going, guys?
Good.
It's been a while, so I'm excited to be here.
I know. I'm excited too, and I'm happy to see your face. We're Zooming. We are Zooming today, so hopefully the quality is all right and everything. I'm not techie, so anytime something doesn't work, I just immediately call Jared and like, help. So anyways, we're going to go ahead and jump in because we have small group tonight, not a lot of time to record. So we're just going to jump right into the content. Today, we are going to be talking about homeschooling because we've already started. We started Monday. Becky, you started Monday too, didn't you?
Yes, we started Monday.
Yeah. Have you guys started, Bree?
No, I think the date is the 13th. I think that's a Wednesday in August, and that's when we're starting.
Okay, that sounds great. So homeschooling is starting. It felt like the perfect time to address these questions. This is actually a listener-generated episode because someone wrote in and asked, let me read the exact wording on the question, what a homeschooling day looks like for us, what we do with our littles while we are doing it, and how to get housework done while we are in homeschooling season. So I thought those were all really great questions because I am a first generation homeschooler. My dad was a teacher. My mom stayed at home and my brother and I went to public school full time. So it was a much different experience than what I am trying to do for our children. So I didn't have this modeled to me in any way. And I had never seen anyone do it. Jared also was not homeschooled. He did a combination of some Christian school, some public school. So he also had not seen it modeled. So we're just kind of fumbling along the first few years of this, trying to figure out what to do. And then you add more babies to the situation. It gets even more confusing of like, how on earth do people have like 8 and 9 kids that are homeschooling them and are also saying, like, how does it happen? So I thought this would be a very fun episode to just talk about what we do. Those are very honest, genuine questions that I have also had in my life of like, what do you do with your smaller children? How on earth are you teaching anyone math while there's a baby crying? And that was my biggest question whenever we went to a homeschool convention, whenever I, you know, added more children to our families, like, what do you do? Someone help me. What do you do with your little children? So I thought we could just go around and tell what we are doing because I'm sure we are all doing different things, actually. Which is also an amazing thing about homeschooling is all of our story is going to be different. All of our families are different and all of our children are different with different needs. So we can all tell our experience and hopefully that will be helpful to you guys to pick out some bits and pieces of what you could maybe implement into your family that might answer some questions or make it a little smoother. Anybody want to go first? You want me to go first? What we're doing?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go first. So we tried for a while to do school many different ways, but I think it was whenever Pravi was a baby when I first started talking to Jared about just like, I don't know how to do this. I've not gotten any good solutions from anyone else about how to do this with babies. And I am a person that, to just be very honest, I get overstimulated very easily. Whenever there's other people talking at the same time, it's very overwhelming to me. It's just the way my brain is. And I've tried for many, many years to pray about that and ask God, like, will you please change my brain? Please make me be the type of person that like doesn't care if a million people are talking at the same time and three people ask me to do something at that same time. And, you know, that sort of thing. And God hasn't answered that prayer yet of changing my brain. So I came to a place of peace with just like, okay, God isn't changing my brain. I wish he would. I wish I'd be very laid back, but I'm not. So I'm trying to lay out our days in a way that I cannot sin against my people in getting overwhelmed and frustrated and also, you know, calmly homeschool them. So Jared and I came up with a solution of our family all wakes up very early. Jared gets up at 4. I get up usually either anytime between 4 to 5 or 5:30 is the time I wake up. So during our homeschool year, Jared just starts his work day at 4 o'clock and works from about 4 till 6 in his office. And this is also kind of tying in of how do I get other things done, like housework wise, while I'm in homeschooling season. So I'll get up anytime between 4 and 5 or 5:30 or so, and I get housework done until my kids wake up. So I basically just get up, read my Bible, and then I usually have some other reading that I'm doing at that time. And then I just do house stuff. So I'll like fold laundry or prep dinner, get breakfast stuff made, do outside chores during that time. I love getting up early in the morning. I mentioned this on our hobbies episode. I really enjoy getting up early in the morning and being outside right when the sun is coming up and doing all the outside chores and getting that stuff done before people are even awake. So that works out really well. And then my kids get up and I feed them breakfast and they usually have about 30 minutes to eat and get ready for the day. And then we start our school. And this is the first year that Ransom and Valor are both grouped in together. We use my father's world curriculum. So in second grade, when your youngest is in second grade, they start being looped in with your older student. So that has been really, really cool this year to have both the boys together for a lot of our subjects. So Ransom and Valor are with me, and Jared then has the littles, Oak and Providence, during our school time. And so we have like a 2-hour window where we try to get all of our subjects done that require focus and quiet. Or, you know, I say that loosely because I know some of you out there are like, well, none of our subjects have focus and quiet. And I know that is the story for a lot of families. And if that's working for you, praise God, and that's amazing. That wasn't working for our family. So because we are committed to homeschooling and we're also committed to the health of our family, we're making kind of drastic decisions where we wake up at 4 a.m. and make this work. So Jared, you know, works his job from 4 to 6, and then he watches the little kids for a couple hours while I get as much done as I can with homeschooling. And then if we don't finish everything, that's fine. But we have some easier things after those 2 hours, like our reading time or like some practice sheets that need to be done, some independent things that don't take a lot of my attention that they can easily do on their own and I can just oversee. So that is kind of our morning and our homeschool routine and what I do with the littles. So Jared is a huge help and he watches those littles, and there's some work that he can do with them. So if it's things that he can do, he'll take them. But that's something that has been a huge solution for us and just making things work, because some of our kids also are kind of like me where we can't focus if there's a lot of things going on. Like if there's kids playing with trucks beside them, they have a really hard time. And that's just, again, how God has made their brain. And I'm doing my best to parent all of my children as best as I can. And so, yeah, this has been a great solution to us where the littles are occupied with Jared for those 2 focused hours. Another thing that we're doing that has been a huge, huge, huge blessing to us is our church started Christ Church Academy last year, and we're going into our second year of that starting in September. So we have some subjects that we do on Fridays at Christ Church Academy. And the way that the classes are set up, their intent is to take the place of that subject at home. So Jared is teaching history, I'm teaching art, Becky teaches a story time. We have how many classes do we have this year? 9?
9, I think.
11? I don't know. I can't remember. So we have 3, but then we also have that writing class. I think we have...
Oh, yeah, maybe we do have more.
I think we have 11 classes this year at Academy. And so on Fridays, for instance, with history, Jared covers the week's worth of content lecture style for his, and then they go home with homework that goes along with it so that they're able to cover all the content that needs to be done for that week's worth of history in class, and then with supplemental homework so that that subject is covered throughout the course of our year.
Jordan, I am so thankful that you teach art because I am not an artsy person. I like doing things with creativity, but I am not artistic. Yeah. Those are 2 very different skill sets. And we started school on Monday, and every single time, so I mean, we're 3 days in, so saying every single time sounds dramatic, but as I see art at the end of each day, I'm like, nope, Jordan's got that. Jordan's got that. And I think this year you're using some of the resources from my father's world.
Yep.
And so made me feel even better about it because I'm going, you know what? He is going to see that art card in September. I don't have to pull that out and try to figure this all out right now. And so that has been a blessing. And I feel like just having one less thing to check off and one less thing on our list for the day has been a really big help, because you kind of get towards the end of that hour or so of schooling and you're kind of, you can start to lose a little bit of attention and stuff, me and him both. And so that has been a blessing already. He hasn't even started art class and I'm already being blessed by it.
Yes. And it's the same with science projects and things like that, where you're like, I don't know if I can build a popsicle tabernacle today. Like, I don't think that is something I'm capable of emotionally today. Yeah. So Academy has been great because we have these individual teachers who are focusing all their attention just on teaching science or just on teaching history. And then you have that focused hour with all of your students just to cover that and do the extra things, do the extra art projects, science projects, you know, history acting out situations with costumes and all the things that they'll remember. So that's been really great. So that is our homeschool experience at the moment. I don't know if there's anything else I need to cover, but that's basically what we're doing.
I think before I share, or you can go next to whatever we want to do, but before I lose this thought, one thing that was helpful for me last year when we had a one-year-old and trying to homeschool with having a one-year-old, because I feel like one is a very sweet age. But it's also where mischief starts to happen.
Like, oh, they're complete octopus too. Yeah. Complete octopus.
Yes. I swear they grow limbs and mm-hmm. they can be in everything at like lightning speed.
So
like
fast.
You can set them down mm-hmm. and turn around and they're at the other side of the house in the yep. toilet. Like
yeah.
just totally random, yeah. inappropriate things. Like
is there poop everywhere? What has happened?
Yeah. and they're kind of past that age. So when Elsie was little, I could pop her in the pack and play next to mm-hmm. me, or
yeah.
put her in the high chair with some snacks or, you know, something like that. And she would be totally fine. But once they hit that super mobile stage, I feel like that's the really hardest age to try to figure out how to navigate. So one thing that we did last year is whatever subject Jack was having the hardest time with that day, I would just table that. And typically it was the same subject over yeah. and over, you know your kid. And so whatever that subject is where you know you're going to butt heads or they're going to have a really hard time focusing, I would just table that for one of Elsie's nap times. We would go through the rest of our day, do the rest of our routine, our schedule, what have you. And then whenever I would get Elsie down for a nap, I would say, okay, we're going to do this now. And just give them a heads up of, hey, whenever she goes down for a nap, that's when we're going to tackle the tabernacle of popsicle sticks.
Yes.
Or that's when we're going to tackle this math lesson or this reading lesson that is just really going to be a little bit more where you're going to need my attention. I'm going to need to be able to focus.
I'm going to need to be able to be
care of.
Yeah. And this is a time that I'm going to be able to be as patient as I could be, where if a million things are happening at the same time, my patience level is not going to be as high as what it could be later on today when it's quiet and some people are sleeping. Yeah.
One of the beautiful things about homeschool is you can literally tailor your day to whatever your people need. You don't have to do math at 9 o'clock in the morning if that's not going to work well for your family's schedule. You can even if you have a husband that works like an 8 to 5 kind of job,
yeah.
you can even do math at 5:30
yes,
or do
absolutely.
It at different mm-hmm. time when the dad's home to help watch and supervise. So don't feel like that's one thing that I had to kind of, because I am such a checklist person,
mm-hmm.
I had to kick that part of my brain out
yeah.
of homeschool planning, because there are parts of your day, especially when littles are involved, that it doesn't go the way that you want it to go. Ideally, yeah, I'd like it all checked off before 10, but that in every season, that's not going to be possible.
And I have a family member that she has a couple littles, a couple biggers, very similar to our family. And last year, she just asked her mother-in-law and her mother, like, hey, could you watch my littles for a few hours these 2 days a week? And she tailored her week so that the bigger bulk of their work for the week was during those 2 days when she had babysitters for the littles. And that's you can do whatever you want with homeschooling. Like you could make it to where you cover all of your content 2 days a week, just have two really long days. So if you're in a season where you have littles and it's harder, maybe your husband's day off is on Saturday, cover the bulk of your stuff on Saturday. And then the rest of the week, do like practices and the rest of your work that can be done. But you can tailor it in a way that is more beneficial to the health of your family. And that's the thing with homeschooling. Like a rigorous education is important to me. And I want my kids to get the very best education that they can, know as much they can about God and the world that He's created, and love learning and love reading. But also, I want my family to be really healthy. And that's even more important to me than a rigorous education, is my family being in a really healthy spot, every single one of us, relationally, emotionally, spiritually. So you really have to keep a balance of like, is this, I don't know, this subject or this amount of time or this amount of tears, is that really as important as what it feels right now. Maybe you need to work relationally for a little bit and table that and do it at a different time or whatever. But just keeping priorities straight when it comes to homeschooling.
Yeah, 100%. Bree, what does your day look like?
Okay, so mine's going to look a little bit different than your guys's because we do a different curriculum. And we do have a, I guess you could call it a co-op, but CC, Classical Conversations, which a lot of people are familiar with that. But I'll get to that maybe last, just because we didn't start there. We started homeschooling classically from the very beginning. I did have some experience. I was homeschooled for 2 years, but it was just me. So homeschooling one individual when they're in, I would have been fourth, fifth, and part of sixth grade. It was just me and my mom. That's a whole lot different than homeschooling for children. So while I did have some experience with it, it's totally different. I've had to learn a lot too. In a similar boat as what you said, Jordan. Like, I'm not a first generation necessarily, but it's still a lot different. However, I did have some experience with classical education. I went to a private school for a couple of years, and so that helped there. But when we started, my husband and I basically just kind of dove into classical education, read as much on that as we could. And thankfully, the Lord brought that into our life before Anora was old enough to really be doing any sort of curriculum. And so we dove right into that. We did a couple years of preschool. And obviously, those days looked way different than what my days look like now. And I know, Becky, you've got quite a bit, like a big slew of kiddos too, even though you might be in the, like, how old is Jack?
He is in first grade. He's six this year. And then Jean's pre-K.
Okay. So first grade. So like, it just looks so much different than it did, you know, when we were in the preschool years. So I say that because when people are listening, I feel like I sent my schedule and my homeschool thing to Kate, who's not on the podcast today, and it can look very overwhelming. But I promise you, it looks that way because it might not sound so bad when I'm speaking about it, but when I'm sitting here looking at my paper, it's like, whoa, you do all of that. But it's because, like, we might not get to all of this, but if I lay it all out and I, like, the more kids we've had, the deeper we've gotten into subjects, the higher grades they get, the more organized I get, if that makes sense. Like, I'm a pretty flexible person, but I also, if you know me and you've listened to other podcasts I've been on, I really like rhythms and I really like routines too. We're creatures of habit. I'm a big Charlotte Mason fan. And she says in her first home education book, she says, the formation of habits is education and education is the formation of habits. And she encourages parents to build these habits before these kids are school age, like build those habits young. So if you're listening and you have young kids, do it now, like build habits now, the brushing of teeth, get ready in the morning, the independence. That way when your school day does and you have 4, 5, 6 kids or 3 kids or however many kids you have, it is a little bit easier to, like, you know, manage the chaos. The Lord kind of grows you in that. So our days, we do start in August. We do a Monday through Friday. We used to take Fridays off because my husband had Fridays off. Friday is family day, but now he does not. And so we just go ahead and plow through because we have a lot more to get through. So I have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I loop things. If you've read Teaching from Rest, and it's not unique to her book, she gets it from other places, but a loop subject or looping's having three to five-ish things. Like if it's a subject, for instance, you would have science, history, Latin, spelling, and you would loop through these. So instead of doing that every single day, you focus on it one day. So like Monday, we focus on science. Tuesday, that's our CC day. So we're gone all day. That's community day for us. Wednesday is Latin, and I like to do Latin and laundry. So we not only loop the subject, but we loop the laundry in there. I just had to put those LLs together. Thursday, we do history and or geography. Friday, we do spelling, and then they have piano. So it's not every day we do piano. We actually do spelling every day, but Friday is the spelling test. We don't do history. Like, we do cover some history, some geography every day, but like that day is when you focus on it. Really, we're just doing memory work.
Is this frozen for you, Becky?
Yes.
I have gone in and out.
Oh, it was frozen for a minute.
Should I repeat anything or should I just keep going?
You were saying that you loop the subjects, that you don't not do those the other days, but you focus on those on certain day. Memory work.
I say that. Okay, memory work. Yeah, I don't really know where I was. Hopefully
it wasn't super long, maybe 10
seconds. Do you think that won't catch it, what I said? Well, basically what I was saying is, so we have those loop things every single day. That is super nice when your husband works from home and he's also able to be involved in the school. My husband does work from home, but his schedule is so busy right now that I don't have that. And so I've definitely had to get a little bit more creative. It will mean that I'm going to have to wake up earlier than probably I'd like once school starts. I do like waking early. I do a lot, but I'm probably going to have to sacrifice some sleep. So similar to you, I wake up in the morning. I try to get some stuff done before the kids wake up. My kids are super early risers though as well. So it's hard to get much done before they're all awake and starving. So really, ideally, I just get like some Bible or prayer. A lot of times I don't even get Bible and I do prayer because we do Bible together. I get ready-ish as much as I can and I get breakfast going and stuff like that. So we start anywhere between 8 and 9 and we start together and kids might still be eating breakfast or I might be getting younger kids things that they like to do to keep them occupied. But we start together in the morning. Every single morning we do Bible together. Every single morning we do read alouds together and we loop through 2 books. So we'll be reading Little House on the Prairie, the 3rd in the series, and we'll be finishing reading A Horse and His Boy, the Narnia series. So like one day we'll read Narnia, one day we'll read Little House, and we'll just kind of go back and forth. Unless they're just begging to read one, then we'll read that. So Bible, read alouds, we do calendar, we do our CC memory work. What else do we do? Other memory work like scriptures and things like that. So that's every single day we do those together. And then I break it down between kids. So Honora is my oldest. She's 4th grade. So after we do all of those things together, I would give her like a math lesson or an English lesson or her reading, something that she can do on her own. Math is actually typically not the thing she can do on her own. It depends. Math, English, reading, she would do that on her own. And then I would help the younger two, Henry and Evangeline, with their things. Because like Evangeline is 1st grade. It's going to take her max like 2 hours to get through her school. That's like a lot. That's max. Probably an hour to get through her school. Henry, it's going to take him max like 30 minutes to get through his school. So I would try to help them and kind of go back and forth between them while Honora is doing something independently. Then when they're done, they can go play together. And I have like the rest of the time to help Honora, who has math, English, reading, Latin, spelling, cursive, you know, like all kinds of things to do. And kind of like you said, Becky, I table a lot of things, math especially, because like you said, Jordan, I have kids who have harder time with attention spans. And we actually have like medical reasons for that. Like genetically, we have chromosome issues that are causing memory issues. So like we have like legitimate medical problems that are needing to be addressed with some kids, that it's like their memory, it's not gonna ever function in that way unless the Lord just miraculously heals that. And that I would love for that to happen, but it hasn't, and I don't expect that to maybe ever happen. And so that takes a little bit more time, you know. And so I can table a lot of those, do it during a nap time. But a big thing that has really helped me in this season is once school starts, my whole days, like Monday through Friday, my whole day, minus when husband gets home. And even sometimes then we might need help, but not really. Most of the time we don't. But from the moment I wake up in the morning to like 5 p.m., that's my job. My job is I'm homeschool mom. I'm not just a stay-at-home wife anymore. I'm not just taking care of little babies and playing Legos. Like I am a teacher. Mm-hmm. And so if I am fussy about the fact that we didn't get done at noon, like a lot of homeschoolers talk about, like, it's great, we get all of our stuff done at noon. If I'm fussy about that, then it's not going to help the atmosphere of the home. So something that's really helped me, having 4 kids and now homeschooling for like 7-ish years, is that whole day, that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm teacher. I'm mom, but I'm also teacher. And I don't like to have although I like checking the boxes and making sure we've gotten everything done, I don't like being so checkboxish at I am not in a constant state of learning and educating my kids. So even in the summer, I try to keep that in my mind, which this is the first year we've taken like a full-blown summer break, which was kind of cool and weird. But mm-hmm. I kind of keep it in my mind, like, we're always learning. We're always, you know, like, it just never really ends. Even at the dinner table, Dad's going to ask what you learned today, you know? So we're always learning. That's helped me. Yeah, I could go into more detail about what our days look like, but I don't want to, like I said, overwhelm anybody. I think you guys kind of talked about what to do with little kids. That is definitely hard. And I think it has gone by kid with me. I find what those kids like. I have an almost 2-year-old right now, and she really likes to colory. She says, colory, colory. My last one, Henry, the third, he would have hated to sit there at the table and color. Like, that boy is going to run laps around the living room. Well, you know, so I try to find what they like. We take lots of breaks. Like, if someone's getting frustrated, we get up and we go on a walk, or we take a break and go outside, or we get a snack break, or we separate and I put, you know, people in different rooms if we need to. But for the most part, we're around the table together so that mom can have everybody's attention, kind of deal.
Something that my mom said this week on Monday when we started, we were with her after we were done with school, and she was like, now remember, you've started a job today. You're not going to have the time to do the other things you have been doing all summer because you started your job today. And I was like, okay, it's just such a good reminder of like, yes, this is a full-time job. It really is. Even if you do get your school done by noon, that doesn't mean that you're actually done, because you're prepping for the next day and your mind is taxed because of everything that you just went through with teaching and handling all the things. And it's just so much prep work, and it's so much like, after they're done, then I have to go over everything that we did and grade papers, and there's a lot to be done. And it's a beautiful, I love homeschooling and I would not have it any other way, but I have to not overwhelm my schedule because I do have a full-time job now. And like you said, my days now are homeschooling mom. I'm trying to make decisions based on that, because I was going to do like second round with the garden, and I'm like, you know what? I probably should not. For the sake of my sanity, I need to probably be done now. I'm not going to be out in that 4 to 6 o'clock hours now weeding the garden and doing all that stuff, because I got house stuff that has to be done because I'm going to be homeschooling in the day now.
Yeah.
So yeah, remembering that it is a full-time job.
Yeah, for sure.
And amen to starting rhythms young. That helps so much. I remember with Jack, when we did like an actual preschool, not just pre-K, but like preschool curriculum with him, because early childhood was such a new territory for me, and I was so nervous I was gonna, I don't know, do it wrong. I don't know how you can do early childhood wrong, but I was nervous. I would. So I was like, I need a plan. So, but in his preschool curriculum, that was one of the heaviest emphases, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of it was like one of the tasks for the day was teach them how to make their bed. And then like 2 weeks, and then every morning, you're teaching them, teach them how to wash their hands, teach them how to brush their hair, you know, all those like basic tasks. So if you have little ones, and I know for me, I was like itching to get into homeschool stuff. And I think that was also stemming from me having a teaching background and having a passion for teaching and education and all of those things already in my brain. But I was just itching to get into like, okay, I want a curriculum, you know, but really looking back, the biggest things, the biggest benefit that they got from preschool stuff was focusing on teaching them how to do some of those basic daily rhythms. And so if you have little ones right now, that make that your main focus. That's one of the biggest blessings you can do for them and for yourself later on, because then as they get older, you're not having to teach them at, you know, 7, 8, 9 how to make their bed. Sure, they still may need help with things from time to time, of course, but they become a lot more self-reliant, and it makes your day go so much smoother. It makes keeping up with housework and all of those other things, it makes those puzzle pieces fall into place too, because they've learned these skills from a young age. So that's kind of how our day starts. We start, and I just called it our morning things. I'm sure there's probably a cuter term for it, but they have a little checklist that they go through every morning where they always go to bed reading books. And so they put their books away, they get dressed, and we lay out their clothes the night before. That's a huge help, because then you don't have groggy minds trying to pick outfits and, no, I can't find the shirt I wanted this very moment, you know, all those decisions have been made the night before. So it makes the morning go super quickly, very smoothly. So they make their beds, put their books away, get dressed, brush their teeth and their hair. And then while they're I've already done all of those things on my end by the time they get up. And I've already started a load of laundry. That's one way to help with housework stuff, is just get up and start a load of laundry right off the bat and get that going, because that's something that you can really easily flip over while you have a kid working on independent work. You can really quick pop into the laundry room, flip those loads, and then go right back to it. But we all start off our day with our morning things. And then by the time they have those done, I have breakfast ready. We eat breakfast together. And that's when I sneak in my Bible time if I haven't gotten up early enough to be able to do that, because my kids are starting to get up earlier. And so it's a little bit tricky for me to beat them awake and have enough time to do my Bible reading. So that's when I do mine, is while they are eating breakfast. I do my Bible reading prayer time. And then if they finish their breakfast before it's time for school to start and I'm still doing my Bible reading, they have little Bibles that they can read, and they flip through the picture as well, as while I'm finishing up my Bible reading and prayer time. And then we'll start school right after that. And for us, like you said, Bree, we're in a different season where, you know, I'm doing first grade pre-K and then just supervising a 2-year-old. So it's a different, what has to happen in our homeschool day as far as the subjects that need to get done, the intensity of those subjects, that's different from the season that you guys are in. But we're able with Jack's stuff to just pretty well go boom, boom, boom right through them. And June has a couple little things that she does because she was very insistent on having school this year. So she has some workbook pages. I've picked a book a day for her to do. So she has a character building book she does on Mondays. Tuesdays is like a math counting book, like a big book of things to spot for math, basic math things. And then Wednesdays is what do people do all day? Is it Richard Scarry? Richard Scarry.
Oh, I love those.
So we go through one of those stories every Wednesday. And then Thursday is science with, we're going through Whimsy studies. And I'm just cherry picking different fun science-based books for her to read and activities and stuff like that. So her stuff is super simple, just a couple of workbook pages and then a read aloud basically with her. So we do our school, but whenever she's done, her next job, and this is a personality thing too. She's like a little mama and it's so precious. And so whenever she's done with her school stuff, her job is to play with the baby. So, well, she's 2, she's not a baby, but her job is to play with Elsie so that I can work on Jack's most tricky subject. So that's kind of how we've scheduled the homeschool part of the day. And then right after that, we just go ahead and we move right into our morning chores at that point. So, and I've talked about my cleaning schedule on here before, but if you are a homeschool mom, having a cleaning schedule that works well for you and sticking to it is going to be your biggest help as far as getting all of the housework handled. Because if you're not planning for when the cleaning's going to happen, it's not going to happen. That's going to be what goes by the wayside. And then you'll get to the end of the week and you'll feel super stressed because things haven't gotten done, and it will feel like too much. And so having a cleaning schedule works really well for us. What's still working well is doing 1 or 2 rooms a day, and they just come with me and they do what they can. So when we are cleaning, trying to think, like when we did our bedrooms today, and so the kids did the windows. They washed all the windows and they dusted the surfaces and things like that while I'm vacuuming and handling like changing the sheets and that kind of thing. So, but we do our chores all together. And since they're still little, it gives me the opportunity to teach them how to do those things. So as they get older, they can become more independent with those skills, and I can hand off some of those chores to them to help them gain some independence and some skills in that area too. So we do morning chores, and then they still have some free time. Our chores don't usually take us all the way through lunch. We usually still have a little pocket of free time. And then they kind of run around wild, crazy, build blanket forts. Today it was a stuffy wall in one of their beds. They got every stuffed animal we own and built a wall of them in one of their beds. And then we do lunch, and that's when we do a lot of our read aloud time. I'll put on an audiobook for them. Right now we're listening to Mouse and the Motorcycle by Beverly Cleary. So we're listening to that one right now. So they listen to audiobooks during or read aloud, or I'll do a read aloud with them during lunch. Then we have our quiet time. and then we do our evening tidy right before dinner. And that helped back into their homes before dinner time. And then after dinner, it's just bath, PJs, and then we do more reading because we love reading and we love books. And right now we're going through Wing Feather Saga. Jordan has us hooked on it. And we are all waiting with bated breath by the end of the day. And it's become such a good motivator for evening tidy because the kids are like, if we don't get this done, we're going to eat into our reading time. We're not going to have as many chapters, you know. they know that they have to budget their time. Like if they take too long to tidy up, it means they don't have as much time to read. And so that's sweet. One tip as far as helping with housework while you have kids too, and this is not for everybody, but we do laundry as a family. So I wash it and dry it every day. And then like every other day, every 3 days, we do a laundry party where we all just in the evening together at some point or in the afternoon together, whatever pocket of time we have, we sort it by person and location. And I don't fold clothes. I hang up shirts and dresses. The kids take them to their rooms and they put them in their respective drawers.
That cut out. So I just wanted to repeat it because I think it should be said and heard. Becky does not fold clothes. That's all. When you were saying you don't fold clothes, I was like, that needs to be clarified. She does not fold clothes.
She hangs up some.
Yeah.
And then the kids throw them in their drawers, correct?
Yes. And I'm telling you, it works great. Now, Brandon,
I just don't understand how they're not super wrinkled.
Because, their tops, their top, like dresses and shirts are all hung up.
Oh, shirts are like, hung up. Okay.
Shirts and dresses are all hung up.
Okay.
And this is just for the kids. I fold Brandon and I's clothes, but we also know how to put clothes away in a drawer where it's not like a pack of wild wolves did it, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas if I found out that as I was folding clothes and then teaching little people to put them away, they were getting unfolded.
Yeah, it's not wrong.
Why am I spending time and energy on that when we could do it so much faster if I just sort them into laundry baskets for each kid and then they put their clothes away and then
How the drawer ends up after a couple days anyway. I refold things in people's drawers so often and it just ends up being unfolded in there as they rummage through looking for something specific. So I'm just saying, it's not a bad idea.
That's why we hang pretty much everything. The drawers, which my girls have cubbies now because we have three girls in one room. The cubbies are play clothes, underwear, socks. It's like not nice stuff. All the nice stuff, even like the nice shorts. I got these really cute old fashioned wooden hangers that like you pull the top of the hanger and you can put the pant or the short in and it like clamps over it. So yeah, we hang pretty much everything. And I wish I would have known your tip though, back when I was like stressing about laundry a couple years ago. Now I don't stress about it. And we found a system that works and the kids all pretty much can put their own laundry away and hang things. So that's nice. But before they could do that, it would have been nice to know like, hey, some people don't even fold their stuff.
Nope. It was one of those seasons I started doing it. I think when Jack was, he was probably 2 or 3. And I thought, this is not a battle that I need to pick right now. And he will leave our home knowing how to fold a shirt, how to fold pants, and put them in a drawer. But when they're all really little, right now they can sort their clothes and they can put them in drawers. But expecting them to keep them in nice, neat, tidy piles and spending my time doing that when I could be spending my time elsewhere was not a top priority for me. So, but Becky does not fold clothes. Not kids' clothes. But towels, things like that, I do still fold those. But that's one of my biggest tips because I feel like laundry is one of the things that is the hardest to keep up with, especially with multiple people. It just takes so much time. So if you can shorten that, by all means, stop folding your clothes.
So Jordan, you mentioned that you get a lot of your housework done in the morning. Is that like your primary time to get your...
And I've gone through different seasons of different methods. There's been a time where I did a cleaning schedule where I, had a couple hours where I had a cleaning schedule where I did a different thing every day. But now, whenever I'm cleaning, I usually take a couple hours on Fridays and do my whole house at one time when I'm cleaning. I don't really do a cleaning schedule as much anymore, other than just when it's needed. Like if I see a dirty toilet, I'm just going to clean it. But I like to have a whole house sparkling feeling. And I just wasn't getting that with a cleaning schedule. And I did have Friday afternoons that were easier because that's Jared's day off. So after we got home from Academy last year, I was just like making that my cleaning time. So
yeah, that's nice. And do the kids help or does he like watch kids?
So my kids have chores that they do every day, like making their bed and those kind of personal chores. But then Ransom also empties the dishwasher and Valor empties trash cans and or bigger trash cans and Pravi empties littler trash cans. So we have lots of things that they help out with. But whenever I'm doing like the whole house clean, I usually just do it myself.
Yeah, that's similar to us. But so we've gone through a lot of different things, too. There have been seasons that have been busy and like when Mason stopped working. When he stopped having Fridays off, like where we had to do a loop kind of schedule where I would have just like either rooms of the house or certain jobs looped and we would just go through those as we could. I'm kind of like you though. I don't love that because I like to have the whole sparkly house clean. So I have pretty much always tried to do it in one big swoop if I can, but certain seasons won't allow for that. And I'm a pretty flexible person. I'm okay with change. And I know some people aren't, but naturally I am. So I say it as someone who like, I can naturally kind of like change up the, like we have habits, we have rhythm, but I can naturally change those up to go with the season. It doesn't really bother me. But right now, I will be like completely honest. We hit a season this year with homeschool, being more involved in CC, and I'm teaching there now. And then just the duties of the church that, you know, my husband and I were like, what its priority? What are we going to like, what do we need to have done? Yada, yada, yada. And we decided to get a house cleaner because he got a pretty significant promotion, which was never something we could ever do in the past. But he got a significant promotion and we kind of factored it in. If we had a house cleaner come every 2 weeks, then like I would kind of keep up with it 1 week and then she would clean the whole house the other and I would kind of have time off.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. Are you doing that too?
Yeah. Well, Becky started a house cleaning situation. So it's wonderful because it, and if you have someone in your church that's wanting to do that, it's like, it's a way to bless them and it's a way to help yourself out if you can financially make that happen. But yeah, it works out great because, well, Becky's an amazing cleaner. If you guys follow Keeping Home, I have like the best house cleaner on earth. She's like amazing. Talk about walking in and it feeling sparkling clean. I just told her that the other day. I was like, it always feels so sparkly when I walk in. But I especially like to do that whenever our whole family is gone somewhere. It's the best. Like we go on a trip and I just tell Becky where the house key is and she's like a little magic fairy that comes and cleans the whole house and you walk in and you're like, what? It's magic. So yeah, I definitely think that's a huge blessing, especially if you're in a heavy homeschool season, little kids, like you have so much going on. That's a great solution.
Yeah. And my lady quit, but my mom, and it's funny because I was taking care of my mom and my mom was living with us. And that was one of the reasons that it was like life hits sometimes and you just can't keep your head above water, especially if you're a homeschool mom and it's okay to ask for help.
Absolutely.
And I was not the person that was like, I want to ask for help in the education realm. Not that that's bad. If you have people that are like great at this subject or can school your kids for a day or whatever, then that's amazing. But that's not, I knew that wasn't where I needed to give that up. Like I needed more time with my kids. Not that I don't get plenty because I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I need, and that's what she's always done is cleaned houses. So we're going to see how it goes. I told her, I was like, what happens when you get sick, you know, or you start feeling bad, but she's going to be cleaning for me and I'm going to be paying her. So it is like, it helps, you know, the other person too. If you can find someone who does a good job and have a good relationship with them.
Yep. I think you can get stuck in your head of that you have to do everything and like you're only succeeding if you're doing everything. And I felt that way with homeschooling. A few years ago, there was a time where I was like, if I'm not doing all the things, then it proves that I'm not able to do it. And that was just totally a lie from the enemy burdening me. And since then, you know, we have Christ Church Academy. That's a huge blessing. And then my dad is a retired science teacher and fabulous science teacher and loves it. And is one of those people that's just super interested and passionate about science. And so I was like, why on earth have I not been having him teach my kids science? He's so much more knowledgeable than I am and passionate about it. And I have really found that whenever one person is doing one subject, they throw their whole self into it rather than me trying to do a million subjects and not really doing anything other than trying to get it done. So my dad is teaching our science now. We do subjects at Academy, and we have, for my oldest, we have a private math teacher that's amazing at math, and we Zoom with her twice a week, and then we do the homework the other days. And it's just a huge blessing because there's these other pockets of people that are able to pour into my children, and we're all able to focus on what we need to focus on better. But it was that letting go of my pride in the matter of like, I can't keep it all together, so I'm not succeeding at this. It's like, no, that's not it at all. It's not about me to begin with. Homeschooling is about my children and their education. And it's this realization of like, this is not about stroking my ego and pride about how good that I'm doing at it or anything like that. It's about them getting the best education that they can possibly get and for everyone being healthy. Then just considering the humanity of everyone involved, including myself, because it's not like a weird self-care situation to also consider how you are doing in this matter. And I think it's important to consider because you're mothering and educating a lot of people, and it's a 24-hour day job. And if you're not feeling healthy about your situation, make changes. Like, it's okay to make changes to consider how to best support everyone, including yourself.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that, because that was going to be something that I want to make sure we said, that community is really important.
Very.
And if you just narrow education down to the subjects and the content, that is not education. Education is character formation, and it's very important that your kids are mentored by healthy people outside of your home and outside of you. And that is why we joined CC. It wasn't because I love the curriculum, because to be honest, when we first joined, I was like, I have a curriculum. I love our days. Like, I love our slow, beautiful thing that we've built here. And for whatever reason, I went another year, even though I kept telling my husband and I kept telling the kids even, like, we might not stick with this. But the kids really loved it. And I saw something there. I saw community. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you guys have that at Christ Church, because it's very similar from what I've heard to like something like CC, the fact that you have that at Christ Church is wonderful. We're at a smaller church. We had just moved here. A lot of the kids that were at our church and still are very young. And so these families plan to homeschool, but I'm like the seasoned homeschooler in our church, you know, that everyone looks to, but I'm like, I need people outside of me. I need the seasoned homeschoolers and I need the people that have gone before me. And we found that in CC, and that to me is irreplaceable. So I have slowly let go of my pride and like my curriculum. It's like, I really loved this, but at the end of the day, this is good too. You know, I'm not sacrificing. I'm not telling you to sacrifice for a really bad curriculum or something that's unbiblical or something like that. But I did have to sacrifice my desires in a lot of ways so that we could also have a healthy community for our kiddos and for me. It is, you know, like you said, it's not some weird self-care thing. Like, I need that community too. I need that help.
Yeah.
And this community and what we do on Tuesdays and how it flows through the rest of our week is a huge help to me. It takes a huge burden off of me homeschool wise.
Yeah. The student will become like the teacher. So if you are being an unhealthy person, just trying to check the boxes, but you're really not in a good place, that's gonna rub off on your children as well. So you really want to be the best that you can be so that they can be catching what a healthy Christian mother is like and what a healthy Christian person is like. So you got to make decisions wisely and with a lot of prayer for everybody involved. And even like I talked about before on here, that my kids are naturally, they wake up very early. Like you said, Bree, my kids naturally wake up very early as well. But we set a wake up time that was a little bit later. It's not bad for them to sleep in an hour later than they were naturally sleeping till. But honestly, it was more for me than it was for them. And it doesn't hurt them to sleep in an hour later. And if they wake up, they read their books and they're totally fine and happy. But I needed a little bit of time in the morning to get some things done. And it's been a huge blessing to me just as a human. Like, I needed a little bit of time to do some things in the morning to get ready and to prep dinner and do those things that I do in the morning. So that's been a really big help to me, is just having a set wake up time. And my bigger kids are able to wear a watch and know what time it is. But I know they make little alarms for littler kids too, that have like the green light and that kind of stuff too. So if you are struggling through kids that wake up very, very early, that might be a good option. One thing with chores that I was going to say too is, so with My Father's World, you get the teacher's planner that has all your subjects and your checks beside them. But I just write in the chores that I want the kids to do on our homeschool planner. So like certain chores for each of the kids, their instrument practice, or anything else that I want to be happening throughout the week, I just schedule that into our homeschool planner. So if I want the kids, I don't know, fill in the blank, whatever I'm wanting them to be done, I'm like, okay, we did our schoolwork, now you have to go do this. And that's really helpful too, just to have that planned in as a part of your school day. And then one other thing that I wanted to say, this was in regards to having multiple kids at the table at the same time. What I've been doing this week is, so we're doing a lot of really early American history stuff this year. So I have a couple things that are just kind of time fillers, like a United States puzzle and a book about interesting things about different states. So if one kid is like done with their spelling words and the other kid isn't quite done, just being able to hand that to the other student. So that's been really helpful too, having your kind of busy work for the kid, if you're having multiple students at the same time, having something at the table that the other can do while we're waiting on the other person to keep them busy and quiet.
Yeah, I did that with Elsie and a little bit with June last year, of just having a bin of things that they could go to, if they're like a bin of favorite toys set aside for Elsie, and those were only for school time. And it didn't buy me tons of time, but it bought me some time. Yeah. And having some things already set aside and that you know will occupy them for at least a little bit, or be a bin of like, hey, no, you can't go, you know, get out all the Legos right now because I am teaching here, but you can go get anything you want out of this bin and do that. And having a kind of like a green light bin of like anything in here, totally fine.
Yeah.
Is super helpful too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be scared of mess either. Like, we do a lot of messy things. We have a basement, and that's where a lot of our toys are and a lot of our puzzles and things like that and a lot of our crafts. That's nice because then I can pull things up as I want. So like one day I might pull up Legos, one day I might pull up Magnetiles, Play-Doh, random crafts. Like, I have so many messy crafts. I have so many sensory bins and boxes of Play-Doh and random trinkets, and that will keep all of my kids, every single one of them, occupied for a very long time.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to touch on was my cooking is different on days that I'm doing school versus days that I'm not. So summer break or like weekends is more of my fun extra stuff that I do with food, that's just because I enjoy cooking and I enjoy the science behind it and learning about cooking and all that. But through the week, I'm kind of boring and I do a lot of crock pot stuff and Instapot stuff and smoking meat and things that can be more hands off. So if you're struggling to get stuff done, like I said, in the early mornings, I prep supper super early, lots and lots of days. I'll throw a bunch of stuff in my crock pot that I know will be for supper and either go ahead and put it on and just leave it at keep warm after it's finished. Or even I've been known to prep things in a crock pot the night before and then stick it in the fridge. And then the next morning, all I got to do is get it out and turn it on. Same with the Instapot, the smoker, all that kind of stuff. Utilizing tools that are very hands off, huge help. I just got a bread machine given to me. At first I was like, I don't think I need it, I don't think I was using it. And I was like, wait a minute, yes, I absolutely want it. And I timed myself, and it's like 4 minutes of hands-on prepping, like pouring the ingredients in a certain order, and then 3 hours later there's just a beautiful loaf of bread. So having tools that make food easier is a huge help. And if you don't know how to use those, like getting an Instapot cookbook, getting a Crock-Pot cookbook, find some inspiration or friends that have use those tools to make your day a little easier.
So one thing that I did this year to help with meal planning, because when you have homeschool planning that comes into the mix and homeschool prep, you lose some of the time in your day, and meal planning becomes a little bit more tricky and time consuming. And it's just one more thing in your day or in your week. And so one thing that I did was, before our school year started, I made a list of breakfasts. So they were already planned. I didn't have to think about carbs, protein, all of that kind of ratio things. It was just, I just went ahead and made a whole list of them. And then I did the same thing for dinners. And we're just going to do a breakfast and dinner rotation. And then lunches are always pretty well the same kind of thing. Sandwiches, we call them toasted tacos, but they're quesadillas, you know, things like that that are super quick, easy prep, leftovers, things like that. But breakfast and dinner prep and planning take the bulk of the brain power for me. And so before our school year started, I made a list of all the breakfasts that I wanted to do and then made a list. I don't know, whatever, out what I want to make the next week. Get tired of those, I'll sit down and make another list and plan a fresh block of meals to pick from. But it makes the prep and the planning really easy because I'm not having to sit down and reinvent the wheel every single week when it comes to meal planning, which I do enjoy. I, like you said, Jordan, I like trying new recipes. I like tinkering around in the kitchen. I enjoy that. But homeschool season, I have to be more efficient with my planning and my prep time. And so having those lists already pre-done has been really helpful.
Yeah. We also do our oldest, my son Ransom, he's 11 now and he is our lunch chef. So he takes a lot of pride in that title and he takes care of lunch most days. So we have a few easy things that he rotates between and he usually takes care of lunch for everyone. So that's another idea too. Yeah.
That's awesome. I do the same thing, Becky. I wrote everything out and I write like all the ones out that we do a lot that people like. And I separated it with crock pot and easy meals for like days like Tuesdays and Fridays because we're gone.
Yeah.
A portion of that day, like piano lessons and CC community days. Also on Tuesdays this year, we're going to plan for me when we get home from community that evening. I want a crock pot meal ready so that the hubby and kids can go and eat. I'm going to grab my food. And for the rest of the evening until bedtime, I'm working on homeschool stuff for the following week, which I've never done before. Normally I'll just kind of squeeze it in whenever, or he'll give me like what we call a mom time, but this is going to be my mom time, but it has to happen weekly now since I'm teaching outside of the home too. So separating those easy dinners also helps, and giving kids jobs like the lunch chef, that's an awesome thing. Like Anora right now, Anora and Evangeline are watching Bellamy, my youngest. They're great with the baby. So, you know, I've got girls, so they help in different ways than maybe my son does, but they're very great helps with, you know, the nurturing things, helping someone with a boo-boo or, you know, helping with the baby. Anora is getting to the age now where she's just super helpful in general. She'll come up to me. She came up to me this morning and said, "How can I help?" because their dad is on a work trip, and I just give her jobs and she thrives. So give those kids jobs.
Yeah. That would be a good resource for us to put on the Fruitful and Fearless website. It would be a list of our homeschool meals or busy season meals.
That'd
be
good. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Well, I have to hop off because I got to go shred some chicken for tonight. So thanks for chatting, ladies, and hope this is inspiring and helpful for your homeschool seasons. And may the Lord bless the work of our hands as we start a new school year.